Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
I've been wiped out in this game 3 times to 0. Zero. Most of y'all haven't even got off the sidewalk yet, and you're already complaining. I found myself a 4-unit property because that's what they tell you the first thing that you should be doing is to purchase yourself in a multifamily property to generate income. I didn't understand evaluation. I didn't understand cash flow. I didn't understand if something was worth the investment. I thought that the win was the ability to buy, because in our culture, in our community, you own a property, congratulations.
Yeah.
So you thought that you winning. At that period of time, I didn't realize that the realtor was playing me. I didn't realize that the lenders were playing me. I didn't realize that after owning the property, the contractor would end up playing me. So watch this, audience. Watch this. After owning a property for 2-3 years, what is the natural narrative that they say that you're supposed to do with that property?
Refi?
Do you notice how everybody says the same thing? You notice how it wasn't too difficult, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's what I did. I have the property now from 2003. 2 years later, the 2005, 2006, I refinanced. So the property was purchased at 220. I refinanced it to 240. Now my mortgage didn't get better. It got worse. So the cash flow negative went even lower.
God damn.
I'm borrowing money from credit cards. I'm borrowing money from family and friends. I'm borrowing money from lines of credit. Audience, does that not sound familiar? So now what ends up happening? I have to make a decision about my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is an entrepreneur, mentor, coach, public speaker, and real estate investor extraordinaire. He's the creator of Flips to Profits, a brand built to teach investors how to find deals, analyze deals, and protect profits using real fundamentals and not hype. From going through setback after setback in the early stages of his investing journey, this gentleman is proof that with patience, persistence, and perseverance, success in this industry is all but inevitable. And whether he's teaching on platforms just like this to provide investors the blueprint they need to win, or helping aspiring investors learn the strategies to scale their real estate portfolio, his mission remains the same: to help you cut through the noise on social media and learn what it actually takes, not just to find your way in this business, but to make sure you stay in this business. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Brooklyn, New York, by way of Long Island, New York.
Queens, New York, Queens, New York, too.
Queens, New York, as well. I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Welby Aselli. What's going on, family? How are you?
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate the introduction.
Most definitely.
I got to make sure I let everybody know I'm from Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, and now I live by way of Long Island, man.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yes.
Spoken like a true New Yorker, man. Happy to have you on. Long time coming.
Yes, sir.
I have been watching you from afar. You are, I said it very briefly before we started, one of the most prolific voices in this space right now.
I appreciate
because
that,
you speak
man.
From a place of authenticity, but more importantly, from experience.
Thank
right?
You,
you're not new to this industry. You're very true to this industry. And we're going to talk a lot about, you know, everything that you've ventured to get to this point. Yeah. But before we do, I know I'm familiar with you. I want to get the audience familiar with you. So for those who don't know, who exactly is Welby Aselli?
Once again, thank you for the introduction. For those that don't know me, my name is Welby Aselli. I'm a first generation Haitian American. Born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens. Now I live out in Long Island. I've been investing in real estate for the past 22 years. Mm-hmm. I can't even believe it's 22 years. I talk about the good, the bad, the ugly of investing in real estate. I like to come from a place of experience, a place of reality, a place of truth, and explaining to the people the ups and downs about this business. With me being in the business for the 22 years, I talk about how the first 10, 11 years was horrific for me. Mm. I talk about being taken advantage of. I talk about being played by a lot of the people that's in this industry. Mm. And I speak what I would say, honestly, 90, 95% of the people that are in this industry have experienced, but they are too afraid to admit to what they went through because people don't want to show that their flaws. Mm. I wear my flaws like a badge of honor, and I'm proud of what I've had to go through to be where I'm at today.
Mm. Let's go a little bit before all of that. What did life look like for you before you even got into real estate? Paint that picture for me, and you can go back as far as you like.
I'm a first generation Haitian American. My parents had five boys, so I'm one of five boys. I also have a twin brother. He's the man in credit repair if you need anybody for credit repairs, but it's five of us. Unfortunately, the eldest brother passed away a couple of years ago. Maybe we could talk about that, but he passed away a couple of years ago, so it's four of us left. We were all born here, but then our parents sent us back to Haiti for a couple of years to live there while my parents figured things out to bring us back to America. Mm-hmm. And then we came back to America. I was maybe about the age of 4 or 5 years old. So the first language that I did learn was speaking Creole. Mm. My Creole is not as good as it should be, but you know I can hang you know if I need to, right?
Yeah.
And then we lived in Brooklyn in Brooklyn Projects in Canarsie Projects. It's called the Brooklyn Houses in Canarsie, Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And then around the age of around maybe about 11 years old or so, 12 years old, my parents bought a home. In Queens, New York, Hollis, Queens, New York, to be exact. And we lived there. My parents still own the home today. Mm. And we lived there for pretty much my entire life, adolescence to my adulthood. And then in my early 30s, I was able to move to Long Island. I bought, you know, a nice place in a nice neighborhood. I own a couple of places out there as well. Plus, you know, New York. And, you know, we'll talk about my portfolio and stuff like that. And you know, that was the start of my life.
Let's connect the dots from that season of your life ultimately to you finding your way into entrepreneurship, because you talk about coming from a Haitian background. I also come from a Haitian background. Where we come from, in our culture, success is one of three things. You are either a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. I'm not sitting across from a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer. So what was the introduction to entrepreneurship for you?
You know, the thing is, it's refreshing because me and you having this conversation, and I know a lot of people can relate to it that is from the Caribbean, that our parents or our great grandparents, whomever did it before us, sacrificed a lot to come to this country.
Yeah.
And then somehow it was embedded in their mind that if you're not a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, an architect or something, they call it in our language a vagabond.
Yeah.
Right? So that means you're a bum.
Yeah.
So how I got the seed planted in my mind about real estate was through my godfather. Mm. So my godfather was the first person that I recognized that was an entrepreneur and also invested in real estate. And he started planting the seed in my mind indirectly. He never purposely did it. Indirectly, he was planting the seed in my mind about real estate at the age of 7 years old. Mm. Because what happened was he was the first person that we knew that lived in the suburbs, lived a good life, drove a nice car, and he would come to the projects to come and see my mother and my father and then pick me and my siblings up to come and hang out with him and his children in Long Island.
Mm.
And one of the things that blew my mind that I tell people all the time, and you know, as coming from Haitian parents, my parents were overly protective. They didn't want us to do anything, right? And so when my parents allowed us to go ride our bikes, we literally had to ride our bikes in the cul-de-sac of the projects, just in the circle. So while the other kids in the projects were able to roam the streets freely, we couldn't do that. And we were teased by the other kids about that.
Yeah.
So when my godfather would pick us up, and he would bring us to his home in Long Island, he would stop the car, take our bags in and say, get out of here. Mm. And just kick us out the house and say, get out of here. And I don't want to see you guys till the light comes on, the street light comes on. And we would all have bikes. And it blew my mind that we were able to ride our bikes in the middle of the street, just riding wherever we wanted. It blew my mind at the age of 7 years old.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, elders don't realize how you're influencing someone by the actions that you do directly or indirectly. And I started realizing, how was my godfather living this way? Mm. He was a realtor. He had his own brokerage. And then he also owned one or two rental properties. Mm. So I didn't realize that seed was planted in my mind mind, even though it was done at the age of seven, it wasn't until my very late teens, like 18, 19 years old, yep. early 20s, when now you're out of high school, it's time for you to start figuring things out. I went to school to become an attorney, to be a lawyer, like my parents wanted me to only realize after a year or so that the income that I thought was going to be produced wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I realized I didn't want to do it anymore. And of course, my parents weren't too happy about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to do. I ended up becoming a security guard, making minimum wage, but real estate just kept popping up in my mind, And then, of course, you would see people like Carlton Sheets. You would start seeing the popularity of HGTV popping up and the sexiness of real estate. And then it started developing more and more and more until eventually I started actually doing it.
So you had the... It's funny listening to you because I can literally visualize my childhood through your child. Because coming from a Caribbean background, we more or less all are raised the same.
Of course, it's the same, yeah.
You talked about only being able to ride a sidewalk. My parents didn't let me do that. They had to take us to a park and literally sit there and watch us. Otherwise, we wasn't riding no bikes or doing nothing.
Yeah.
But having that experience of being taken out of that environment and having my godfather take you to Long Island and seeing the life he was able to create through real estate from such a young age kind of embedded something in you indirectly. Fast forward, you leave school. I want to be an attorney. You start going through the process. I don't want to be an attorney no more. You go from that to now working a job in security, seeing real estate pop up. How do you now venture? What does that first step now look like into your first real estate transaction, real estate deal?
I've always been a hustler, even if I didn't realize it. So not only I was a security guard, I was hustling. I was just doing what I had to do. Let's just leave it that way, right? And then eventually I became gainfully employed. And through my employment, I was doing well. I was welding. I was doing a bunch of stuff, right? But then I quickly realized that even if I was, quote unquote, making good money, it was never going to take me over the hump. So I started doing a bunch of things, man, But then around 2003, late 2003, this is when the subprime mortgage era was popping. They were giving free loans, essentially. As long as you were alive, they were giving subprime mortgages with, at that time, it was called 106% financing, meaning there was an 80-20 loan, 80% was the majority portion of the loan. The other 20% was the difference that you should have been expected to come down in terms of down payments and all. And then the 6% was for the closing cost.
Right.
So as long as you had decent credit, all you had to do was sign and you owned a piece of property.
Right.
So during that period of time too, there was a place called Atlanta. You ever heard of Atlanta?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. So Atlanta started turning into the Mecca for African Americans.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody started flooding to go to Atlanta, Georgia.
Yep.
And everybody from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
So when I tell the audience, or when I tell people, what you all are doing today is nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
All of this out of state investing, all of this new builds, it's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing that 22 years ago. So what happened was, being from New York City, which has always been known as an expensive place to live.
Yep.
Everybody was moving and running to Atlanta, Georgia. So I had friends move down there and I was encouraged to start buying real estate down there.
Yep.
I never moved from New York, but I started buying real estate in Atlanta because, quote unquote, it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself a 4-unit property because that's what they tell you. The first thing that you should be doing is to purchase yourself in a multifamily property to generate income.
Yep.
I didn't understand evaluation. I didn't understand cash flow. I didn't understand if something was worth the investment. I thought that the win was the ability to buy.
Mm.
Because in our culture, in our community, oh, you own a property? Congratulations.
Yeah.
So you thought that you winning. At that period of time, I didn't realize that the realtor was playing me.
Mm.
I didn't realize that the lenders were playing me. I didn't realize that after owning the property, the contractor would end up playing me. I just thought that I was a man because I bought. Majority of people, when they hear me speak, can relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing as the people that bought recently during COVID. All they did was repeat what I did.
Mm.
When I bought the property, I was told that the property was worth $220. I paid $220,000. The realtor represented to me that the property would be able to be rented for $1,000 per apartment. Mm. It's a 4-unit. That meant that I can get $4,000 per month. I took that to the mortgage lending company. The mortgage lending company told me, based off of getting the 100% financing, my mortgage, taxes, and insurance was going to be somewhere around, if I remember correctly, $2,200. Mm-hmm. So I said, if I rent this place out, I should be making somewhere around $1,500 to $1,800.
Yep.
So after you buy a property, watch this, audience, watch this. So after you buy a property from out of state, mm-hmm. what did they tell you that you have to do when owning the property? Who are you supposed to give it to?
The property manager.
Thank you very much. You notice how everybody went to the same school. Mm-hmm. So I went and I gave it to the property manager. Mm. I renovated the property. Mm-hmm. The contractor played me. I got introduced to the contractor by the realtor. So people, when y'all go into these one-stop shop outfits that tell you, don't worry, don't go nowhere else, just come to me. I'm going to get you the lender. I'm going to get you the realtor. I'm going to get you the contractor. Watch out. Because that's what I did. So the contractor was introducing me by the realtor. The contractor told me it was going to be X amount of money to fix up the property. Mm-hmm. I paid the contractor X amount of money. Then I took my butt back home to New York, thinking I'm the man.
He just left it in his hands, pretty much.
Of course. Just like what everybody's doing today. Mm-hmm. So I left, came back a month later, nothing was done. Mm. When nothing was done, I approached the contractor, upset, flipping out. Oh, you better this, you better that. And the contractor humbled me very quick. He said, listen, man, you from New York, bro. Remember, you're not from here. Mm-hmm. And he humbled me real quick, because that's not my town. Long story short, he robbed me for the money I spent. I had to figure out and get something to do, because now I own this property. I'm paying a mortgage on this property. Let me do what I got to do. So I developed the attitude that a lot of people have. I'm not going to live here. Let me just slap some paint on the wall, put it out. Somebody going to rent it.
Yep.
So that's what I did. The same apartments that the realtor represented to me that I can get $1,000 for, the best that I can get was $500 per apartment. So a property that was supposed to gross income $4,000, that was supposed to net me after expenses $1,500, now the gross income is not even covering the mortgage. I'm already negative $200. Property managers are going to get anywhere between 8 to 12%. Mine was getting 10%. The property manager don't give a damn if the property is negatively cash flowing. They want to get paid.
Yep.
So now the potential cash flow went negative 200. The property manager is getting 10%. So now I got to come out of pocket $600-$700 every single month, in addition to what I'm receiving from the rent, to service the debt. Mm. Nobody told me that tenants aren't going to not pay. Nobody told me that hot water tanks was going to break. Nobody told me that I was responsible for the water bill that comes through the building. Nobody told me that the roof is going to start leaking. So what do you think happened? I'm fighting for my life, my economic life, mm-hmm. because now the property is killing me. So now I'm busting my tail here, working in New York, still living at home, and the property is not cash flowing. So watch this, audience. Watch this. After owning a property for 2-3 years, what is the natural narrative that they say that you're supposed to do with that property?
Refi?
Do you notice how everybody says the same thing? You notice how it wasn't too difficult, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. I have the property now from 2003, 2 years later, the 2005, 2006, I refinanced. Mm-hmm. So the property was purchased at 220. I refinanced it to 240. Now my mortgage didn't get better. It got worse. Mm. So the cash flow negative went even lower.
God damn.
I'm borrowing money from credit cards. I'm borrowing money from family and friends. I'm borrowing money from lines of credit. Audience, does that not sound familiar? Mm-hmm. So now what ends up happening? I have to make a decision about my life. I have to make a decision about my economic life. You know how many people watch your podcast and the blessings that you're doing for the people? Because what you're doing, they need you, bro. Mm. This information, you know how many people are going to get impacted by listening to this podcast? Mm-hmm. So I'm fighting for my economic life. And I had to make a decision. It's either going to be this property or it's going to be me. Because by that point, I had already moved out of my parents' home. Mm. I owed Chase Bank. I owed Bank of America. I owed Capital Bank. I wasn't paying them. Rub, you got to make a decision. So what I did, I stopped paying the mortgage. After I stopped paying the mortgage, my credit that was a high sevens started getting hit. Mm-hmm. So a credit score that was from 700 went down to 530. Mm-hmm. Then the bank start threatening foreclosure. Then one day, I wake up. By the way, the tenant's not paying rent no more completely because the foreclosure notices doesn't go to your office. It goes to the property. Mm-hmm. So the tenants know that there's no mortgage payments being made. So that gave them the ability or the thought to say, I ain't paying no more rent. So what ends up happening? The property goes to foreclosure. So ladies and gentlemen, the property that I bought for $220,000 that I refinanced to $240,000, it went to auction and I lost it for $60,000. Now check it out. I lose that money. Mm-hmm. You think Chase Bank gave a damn? You think Bank of America gave a damn? You think Capital One gave a damn? You think American Express gave a damn? You think that the realtor gave a damn that put me in a predicament? You think that the loan officer gave a damn that put me in that predicament? Those people wouldn't even pick up the phone call. Mm-hmm. So now I lose everything. I get wiped out. I'm suicidal. Mm. I'm embarrassed. I'm a failure. I feel less of a man. I'm hurt. Mm-hmm. I said, real estate is bullshit. Ain't nobody making money in real estate. Real estate is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Am I talking too much? You want me to keep
going? No, please, keep going.
Okay.
Go.
So for those people, I've been wiped out in this game 3 times to 0. Zero. Most of y'all haven't even got off the sidewalk yet, and you're already complaining. I got wiped out to 0 in this business. So when I got wiped out, I went back to working. I was still working during this period of time, but I went back to work. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm done with real estate. In between that, me and my brother opened up a car dealership, tire shops, all of those things. What the people don't tell you about opening businesses is that businesses, the majority of businesses in America fails. Mm-hmm. If I look, remembered, in the first year, 20% of the first businesses first time fail.
Yep.
In the first year.
Yep.
In 5 years, I believe
80%.
80.
Yep.
80% of businesses fail in 5 years. So all those businesses I had failed.
Yep.
But I was still working. Something kept driving me back to real estate. So I decided to go back into real estate somewhere around 2010.
Okay.
During that period of time, remember, my credit got wiped out. Mm-hmm. When my credit got wiped out, my brother, twin brother, what I just described to you about what happened to me in real estate, the same thing happened to my twin brother simultaneously, including foreclosure. Mm. It was a whole bunch of us that collectively went to Georgia and got wiped out, collectively. Thankfully, at that period of time, my brother started learning the credit game. Mm-hmm. And he started learning how to fix credit. So when my credit got destroyed down to a 500 and some change, within 6 months, my brother had me back at 800.
Money.
Within 6 months, I got back to 800. Mm-hmm. So now I got my credit back on point. I did the things in between, but real estate kept calling me. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to get back into real estate again. When I got back into real estate, I never truly believed in me. Never truly banked on me. I was always banking on other people. So what did I do? Man, I got to find somebody to help me. This is the first time I'm telling this story ever in the world.
Let's do it.
I'm sitting in Bronx, New York, and I saw this mortgage company. It said Mortgage USA. Mm-hmm. And I said, yo, I'm going to go there. That person's going to help me. I didn't know who the person was or anything. I'm going to go in there. Mm-hmm. I walked in there. I said, hey, my name is Welby Acelli. I'm an inspiring real estate investor. I need somebody to help me. This person came in that doesn't look like us. I'll leave it that way. First thing he asked me is, what's your credit? Well, my credit is 800. What do you do? Oh, this is what I do. This is how much I make. I can help you. The reason why I wanted to outline this to y'all, what I just happened to me, ladies and gentlemen, is some of you guys and ladies talk too much. You letting people know way too much what you want, your ambition and everything, and they listening to it, sucking it in to figure out a way to rob you. So the gentleman welcomed me upstairs. When he welcomed me upstairs, he says to me, "Hey, I got some of these properties here. I'm going to give y'all an address. I'm so official with this shit, bro. I'm going to give y'all the address, so don't believe me. Fact check it if I didn't own it." So he gave me a property in Bronx, New York, 2551 Hone Avenue, H-O-N as in Nancy E Avenue. Pull it up. If my name is not on it, call me out on it. I got some money for you.
He not playing. Go ahead.
So when I bought the property, please forgive me with the numbers. I don't remember everything 100% verbatim. But if I remember correctly, he got me that property for $425,000. He told me, "I'm going to help you." So I'm betting on what he tells me, not betting on me. He's giving me all the information, gets me the loan. And then when we get to the table, I started noticing the names on the table. And I'm noticing that the name on the current mortgage is the same last name as his, but with a different first name. When I question it, I find out that it's his brother. His brother, I find out later on, robbed the person that owned the property originally. Originally robbed the person. The brother sucked out the equity. He just needed enough money to get out. So they needed a sucker. Guess who the sucker was? So I buy the property. The gentleman told me, "I'm going to help you. I'm going to get construction for you. We're going to do all these different things." What do you think he did?
Not a damn thing.
Not a damn thing. Left me high and dry.
Yeah.
I had to grind. Went to Home Depot, find some people. So now 2010 was a similar market to what was going on during COVID. All you got to do is throw crap to the wall and shit's going to stick. So, ladies and gentlemen, what y'all were doing in 2020 to 25 ain't nothing new. So I put stuff together, slapped things together, put that property on the market, and I was able to sell that property. Don't hold me 100%, but it was somewhere, I think, around $530,000. I was able to sell the property. That was the first time I made me almost six figures in my life in real estate. I made me some money. During that time, I was able to do some other deals. And before you know it, towards the tail end of 2010, early 2011, I lost it all again. Got wiped out to zero.
So that was this was now the second time
you got wiped out. This is my second time being wiped out.
How'd you get wiped out the second time?
Because I wasn't understanding the fundamentals of the game. I was just running it up, making money, refinancing out, sucking too much equity out the properties, doing whatever, thinking that the gravy train will never stop. Then the market shifted, like what's happening now. And I got wiped out again to zero. I said, "Yo, man, I'm done with real estate, bro. I'm good." But real estate kept calling me. By that period of time, I hustled up and worked up and I stacked me some money, but I'm realizing if in today's times, I don't care how much money you make in hourly. I don't care how much. It could be $10 an hour. It could be $100 an hour. You're never going to get over the hump when anything is tied to how much money you could invest physically.
Yeah.
I got to invest. So I got back in the game late 2013, somewhere in that area, 12, somewhere in that area. I had some money saved up, and somehow or another, I decided to get back to Atlanta again. I go back to Atlanta, and I bought a property in Decatur? Not Decatur, Decula.
Okay.
The people in Atlanta, they know I'm not capping. They know I'm talking about Decula, 2726. Oh, yeah, Cardinal Lake Drive. Don't believe me? Pull it up if it ain't my property. I don't remember the numbers on that one, though, 100%. So I buy that property, renovate that property. I cut corners with it, but I knew I understood the basics on how to buy right. But I didn't understand how to manage right, manage the contractors and different things like that. Contractor played me again. Now, here's the thing. Nobody going to be as willing to be as transparent as me, because I know some of the people in the audience going to say, "This guy's an idiot." Oh, that would never happen to me. That could never happen to me. It happens to the best of us in this game. Long story short, now I'm going to bring back my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I end up having to sell that property. When I sold that property, I had to sell that property at a loss. And I lost about $60,000. Mm. But I got cut a check for $90,000. So I had $90,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most liberating feeling of my life, taking that loss. I come back home. I go to see my parents. You as a Haitian brother, you understand what I'm about to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
My parents have been watching their son for the past 10, 11 years getting his ass served.
Mm-hmm.
So my father said to me, and my mother said to me, BB, sakap fek ayla. What'd I just say?
Pretty much, what's going on with the houses and the real estate business, pretty much.
He said, what's going on with that house?
Yeah.
So I said to my father, ah, ukone.
Okay, you know. It's you like, know. You're just getting by, just doing what you gotta do.
BB, sakap fek ayla. What's going on with this house?
Yep.
I said, mpeji onko.
I lost the house again.
I lost again. So my father said, BB, they call me BB for Welby.
Yeah,
BB,
yeah.
Ufina veksa?
Which means, are you finally done with this real estate thing?
Look at me, I got goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
I say this shit all the time. Every time I tell my story, I get goosebumps. And I told my father, nah, your dad, I know what to do now. I got it. And I had the check and I showed him the check. The $90,000 check, that's all I had to my name. I said, Dad, I know what to do now. The whole point of the story I wanted to share, true story.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest issues I was having is I never bet on me.
Mm.
I never bet on me. I was consistently betting on everybody else. If you told me, put up X amount. If you told me, put your credit on this. And I had the access to it because you told me to, I'd do it.
Yeah.
What's the difference with the people that were doing the same thing in 2020? You weren't betting on you.
Mm-hmm.
You were betting on what their lifestyle supposedly was. So now, when I told this to my father, I said, yo, Dad, if anybody gonna lose this $90,000, it's gonna be me. I'm gonna bet on me this time. Man, I went to work, bro.
Mm.
Within 18 months, I was a millionaire. I took that $90,000, and today that $90,000 turned into an eight-figure portfolio today.
Mm.
Today, that $90,000 makes me in net income after expenses. I'm not talking about gross. After everybody's paid in net income, it makes me tens of thousands of dollars every month.
Mm-hmm.
So do I believe in real estate? Do I have a passion for real estate? I know how real estate changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the people to understand the journey and that you're not alone in what you're going through, what you need to look out for. Why is it that I speak on what I speak on? Because I know you're going through it.
Yeah.
You ain't got to go through it. Learn how to lead, direct, and control these people that work in this industry, because at the end of the day, all of these players in the business works for who? You. They hate when I say that shit.
Mm.
They hate when I say that shit. But let me have a fun. Let's have a little fun.
Let's do it.
What lender do you know is going to make money without a qualified buyer?
Not happening.
Not one, right?
Not happening.
Let me know one realtor do you know that's going to be able to make money without a qualified buyer?
It's not happening.
Okay. Let me know one contractor that you know that can make money without a qualified buyer that's willing to hire them.
It's not going to happen.
So who moves and shakes this business?
The investor.
The investor.
You're the glue.
Not just the investor, because I want them to separate. If you are a regular working person and you bought that property, you an investor too. So I want to empower the people to understand the level of power that they got. That's not to abuse and misuse the people in this business, but it's to protect yourself, protect your family, protect what you're working for.
Hmm.
I think I said enough.
Man,
we can end this podcast now.
We haven't even started. I haven't even gotten to my questions yet.
Now.
Listen,
let's go.
I haven't even gotten to my... There's so much there to unpack because and listening to the conviction that you spoke with, once again, because, and I said it briefly at the beginning, you are true to this industry. You're talking about well over two decades plus and counting of experience, and hearing you navigate through the ebbs and flows. For me, I want to speak to the new investor because they're watching you and where you want to be. Some of them are trying to get there and they're trying to put the pieces together and they're not able to figure it out. From your experience, because you talked a lot about just, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, everything that new investors are dealing with now. What would you say is the biggest mistake that a lot of the investors that either you're mentoring or that you're speaking with are making today that is keeping them from having success in this space?
You make the money on the buy. The number one skill set that you must develop before you even start buying is the ability to evaluate. I don't care what you're trying to do in this game. I don't care if you're doing new build construction. I don't care if you're buying land acquisition. I don't care if you're looking to flip like HGTV. I don't care if you're looking for long-term buy and hold. I don't care if you're doing subject two. I don't care if you're at the foreclosure steps. I don't care what you're doing. When I say foreclosure steps, the court steps, let me be clear. People be in a comment section to kill me.
Right.
The court steps.
Mm-hmm.
The number one skill set that you need to have is the ability to evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
When you are able to evaluate, then you're able to determine what's going to be the performance of that property, whatever it might be. Now, does that align with what you say that you want?
Mm.
It's not my place to tell you what you want. What do you want? And if it aligns and you're in position to, then do it. If it doesn't align, then why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? And I think that that's one of the most important things that people need to do, and one of the key reasons why you see a lot of the horrific stories that you hear and see that's going on.
What if the next time you heard from the banks, it was a $50,000 to $100,000 approval letter instead of another denial? You've been putting in the work, balancing your job, your business, and your family responsibilities. But here's the truth that most entrepreneurs never hear. Hard work alone is not enough to get the banks to say yes. Banks approve entrepreneurs who are structured the right way, and that's the missing piece that's been holding you back all along. We've seen it over and over again. Entrepreneurs who came to us who were stuck getting denial after denial got access to the right system, structure, and strategy that unlocked $50,000, $75,000, and even $100,000 credit approvals. And here's the real cost of waiting. Every month you go without having access to capital is another month where your opportunities are slipping into another business's hands. That's why we created the Fast Track to Capital, a free masterclass where we break down the exact steps needed to make yourself look fundable to banks so that you can access the capital needed to scale your business. We only do this training a limited amount of times per year, so if you're ready to secure your spot, click the link above or below this video so that you don't go another year without having the access to capital that your business needs.
Diving more into that, another thing you also talked about as well, you kind of poked at it periodically and you talked about, you know, a lot of what's being portrayed on social media right now. I think it's interesting to see because I think social media for what you do is a double-edged sword in that there's never been more access to information and resources for people to come in the industry and win. But inversely, there's also never been so much watered down reality on what it really takes to succeed in this business. How do you coach investors who, on one hand, are using what they're seeing from social media to be able to avoid a lot of the lumps, bumps, and bruises that you went through, but then also be able to sift through the noise and know, all right, what's real and what's fake in terms of what it actually takes to have success in real estate?
Receipts.
Hmm.
I can back up anything I'm talking about. Some people will hear the performances of my properties that I own, and from a distance, they'll say, that's impossible, he's capping. I got the receipts. I'll pull them up for you right now, and I'll show you in real time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to throw salt or throw at anybody. You do what you do, right? But I would just tell the audience to fact check what somebody claims to you to do, that they're doing. Whatever it is, fact check what they're claiming to do. And given the fact that accessibility to information is that much more easier today, it's not that hard to fact check what somebody is claiming.
Yeah.
What was the question again? I'm so sorry.
Just in terms of how to be able to. So for someone like yourself, you're a legitimate real estate investor.
Yeah.
But then there's other individuals.
But don't believe me. Audience, don't believe what he tells you.
Interesting. Okay.
Don't believe that just because he says it to you. Make me prove it to you.
Mm.
Make me prove it to you that I am. Make me show you what I got going on.
Yeah.
So anybody that ever comes to anything that I got involved education wise, You coming in here and trust to come in here. Picture me telling you no. I ain't going to show you the mortgage statements or the bank statements or the money's coming in. I'm not going to show you and make it provable that it's coming from the business.
Yeah.
Not the course that you're supposedly buying from somebody. Picture me tell you no. That makes sense?
Mm-mm.
You're going to go to the doctor and the doctor tells you that you got cancer and you tell the doctor to prove it to me before you open me up and he tells you just trust me. Are you simply going to do that?
Mm-mm.
So, I would tell a person, just don't believe it at face value. A lot of the people that are coming to me, unfortunately, have already been tainted. They already did what they did and spent what they spent, didn't get what they wanted. So now they think everybody's on social media scamming.
Yeah.
So they think everybody's on social media scamming. Don't bring that energy to me. Don't bring that energy to me. I got nothing to do with that. The thing that's killing me the most now is that those same people today, listen to the narrative today, are telling you real estate ain't no good no more.
Mm.
Real estate ain't the play no more. All of a sudden, real estate ain't the game no more. Check my resume. Mm-hmm. I've been talking the same shit since 2003. When everybody was saying I was crazy, go look at the videos on my social media. When I was saying, nah, ladies and gentlemen, watch out what y'all doing right now. You're going to get in trouble in 2019, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. I've been saying the same shit. Look at the landscape today. Honestly speaking, does it still look the same today on social media?
Mm. There's a lot of people I saw a couple years ago. I don't see them anymore.
We ain't got to throw shots at nobody.
Yeah.
But does it look the same?
It's a little different.
Has anything changed from what I've been saying?
Not at all.
Because real estate works.
Mm-hmm.
I give the example. If you were to own a boat
mm-hmm.
or a yacht, if you went on outside, you ever been on a yacht or a boat?
I've been on a boat, yep.
Was it calm waters?
Yeah. Well, no, depending on. Sometimes it's calm, sometimes
rock. Cool. But you don't throw the boat away when the water gets rough, right?
Nope.
Because the boat is built for that.
Yeah.
So I want the new investors to be that boat on these waters in real estate because it's not always going to be calm.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be an upside. It's going to be up, down, left, right. And you got to be that boat that just rides the waves.
Mm-hmm.
But you still keep the essence of the business true. And that's what I do. I make adjustments to what the market gives me,
yeah.
and I ride the wave.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's interesting, though, about you is that for where you are, for the amount of time that you put in, for the level of success that you've had up until this point, I watch you from afar and other investors like yourself, another person like you that you're close to, Jude Bernard. I follow both of you guys very, very
closely. Yes,
I follow both of you guys very closely. You would think at this point, so like one thing that you hear in not just in real estate, but entrepreneurship in general is work on the business, not in the business, right? Work on the business, not in the business. But then I'll look up, like, for example, we just had a snowstorm. I'm seeing guys like you, guys like Jude, still doing the down and dirty work, if you will. Like, you guys are still in the property, still shoveling snow in front of your property, still in the basement when pipes bust. When you don't have to do those things, right? I know we talked earlier about when you bought the property in Atlanta, you hired the property manager, and obviously that didn't work well. So it's, how do you navigate that part of it? Or why, I guess, are you still so as hands-on as you are in the day-to-day of the business when you could essentially have everything on autopilot? Or maybe you can, I don't know.
Well, I do have it pretty much on autopilot, but I got my finger on the pulse of my business.
Mm-hmm.
The narrative today, nobody want to do anything. That's why people getting caught out there. Wait, you mean to tell me I could open up a business or I could buy real estate and I don't have to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie. You need to know what's going on with your property so even when you do then pass it on to someone or a company, you still understand what's going on and you can recognize the BS before it even gets started. I could show you the messages that happened for me today. Today, what's going on? I have a toilet bowl situation going on. The property manager that works for me is expressed to me what's going on and how they're getting a smell of, I guess we could say methane, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Because, and he wants to go through this whole motion that was going to cost me $600-$700 to fix the issue. And then I told him, nah, just go to Home Depot, go to this section, go pick up this because it's going to lift up the piping for the toilet bowl and that'll fix the issue. Calls me back right before I came in here and he says to me, boss, it's all fixed. So it went from several hundred dollars
to a couple.
It wasn't even $60 it cost me to fix the damn thing. Why is that? Because I got my finger on the pulse of my business.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about the snowstorm, I got a team that does it all. But I'm not that good. I'm not that big that I'm not willing to go if I have to get my hands dirty if need be.
Yep.
Now, do I have to do it to the extent of what I did when I first started? Not even remotely close. Mm. I'm able to manage my properties from my cell phone. But things happen in the business that requires me to be involved to mitigate and minimize the cost of and move forward. And I could do that while I'm in Mexico or while I'm here. Mm-hmm. But you still got to keep your finger to the pulse of your business. Mm.
Another good friend, to pick up on that, another friend of yours I've actually had on the show, Storm Leroy.
Yes, sir.
He talked about his intro into real estate and he pretty much said, everybody talks to you about what it is to become an investor. Nobody tells you about what it is to be a landlord.
Yes, right.
What is the difference between the two that you see even today with the amount of success that you have? You talked about one story, but just what it actually takes to have success in the day-to-day of this business.
Know the business. You don't have to be the subject matter expert of it all in the business. Mm. I'm not as smart as people think that I am. Mm. I don't need to be as smart as the contractor. I don't need to be as smart as the realtor. I don't need to be as smart as my attorney or anyone else in the business. But I need to be smart enough to put the right people in place and let them do the work for me.
Yeah.
And then oversee it, confirm it, and then sign off for whatever I'm doing. So that's why I show people how to lead, direct, and control the people on the team that you have. Who are the people on your team? These are five major people, main people that you must have on your team to survive and thrive in this business. First one is going to be your money source. This money source might be you, might be our parents, might be your employment. It might be hard money, private money, credit cards, whatever. Your money source. The second one has to be your realtor. The third one is going to be your contractor. The fourth one is going to be your attorney. The fifth one is going to be your accountant. These five people, no matter who else you deal with within this business, from inspectors to appraisers to architects, somehow or another, they're going to be an extension of one of these five people, right? So once you understand how to control these people, lead these people, direct these people, let them do the work for you. What do they have to do? Come back with the information, you verify it, and you agree or you disagree. So how I manage my properties are, I have a strong overview of my business. I don't need to know everything, and I'm involved in my business. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be involved day to day, day in and day out, and I don't have to be involved, but I'm involved. I can show you the messages coming in. No different if you're going to go and text your girlfriend to find out what you're going to eat tonight, or your husband, if he's going to pick up food for you, the family tonight. It's no different than I'm going to say, yo, Alejandro, did you remember to go hit up the lady for the blah, blah, blah? Because I need that done today. And then keep it moving. That's what I do.
Mm. You talked about how, for you, you've been preaching the same thing since 2003, but it seems like the rhetoric online around real estate has just been up and down. One of the things, I'm not an investor. Yeah. One of the things I hear...
Well, we're going to change that soon.
We're going
to change that soon, though.
So watch this, right? One of the things that I've heard shift... So back in 2020... A lot of the conversation I heard around real estate was quantity over quantity. So everyone was talking about getting more doors. Now it seems like the rhetoric has shifted to where some of the investors who are big proponents of getting more doors have talked about dialing their portfolios back and focusing more on quality just because of the headache that comes with it. What has your experience been with that? Because I think I've even heard you talk about it to where it's like, it's not about how many properties you own. It's about the cash flow that exists there.
I intentionally don't speak on how many doors that I have. Mm. I might speak on doors specific to selective properties that I have, but I don't speak on the overall because it really doesn't matter. The door count is not where it's at. It's the quality of what you own is where it's at. That's why I've always pushed and promoted quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say the people are scaling back, a lot of them were more focused on the door count.
Yeah.
They're not only the door count, it sounded sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I got 500 doors. Man, you got 500 doors? I got 2,000 doors.
Yeah.
Sounded sexy. What a lot of people don't have the ability to do. I'm around Jude. That's my brother, Jude Bernard. And other brothers that I respect in this game, like Charles Noonan. I don't know if you know Charles.
That's my guy. He's been on the pod too.
And we can sit down and listen to other people speak, and they will speak their numbers outside on screen. And we'll tap each other. But that dude is cracked. He ain't making no money. He ain't making no money. But the audience doesn't see it.
They just hear 200 doors.
Yes,
5,000
the
doors.
Audience doesn't recognize it.
Yeah.
I'm seeing people pulling up and showing that they bought the block or they own this or that. Then they start to throw the numbers. So I listen intently.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop it, rewind it, listen intently. Then we'd look back at each other and say, he ain't making no money.
Mm.
That person who's also promoting it doesn't even realize he ain't making no money.
Mm.
Isn't that wild?
Very.
That person doesn't realize that he ain't making no money or she ain't making no money either. So they boasting it. So now because of the quantity, it looks like you making movement. Not realizing you on a hamster wheel and never went anywhere.
Mm.
Here's where I got to say why this is important. The majority of people that own real estate, you know, have never made no money in their lifetime. The majority of people that own real estate.
Mm.
I'm not talking about just our demographic. I'm talking about period.
Yep.
Has never made money. Don't believe what I tell you. Research it. The average person, when they buy their property, from the down payment that it cost them to buy that property, rehab costs that they're spending on it, the principal paid down that they're doing on that property, taxes and insurance, et cetera. The average person takes an average of between 8 to 12 years just to break even. So that means today, the average American that's buying real estate today for the first time is in their mid-40s.
Mm.
Which means if you follow that tactic, even on an average, you're going to be in your 50s before you even break even.
Yeah.
During that period of time, what is the average person doing 2 to 3 to 5 years after owning a property?
Getting rid of it, selling it?
Refinance.
Oh, refinance, sorry. There you go.
So then they start in the process all over again.
Yeah.
And then here's the trick. Here's the play. They think that they won or they up because if they do refinance, maybe they refinance for a little bit more than what they owed.
Mm-hmm.
But then now they just put more debt on them, and then they put that extra money into the bank. And then they say, well, I refinanced, I got my money back, it's in the bank. No, you didn't. Here's a perfect example as to why they didn't. You have a credit card?
I do, of course. Okay.
Let's say you have a $100,000 limit.
Mm-hmm.
Audience, I want y'all to pay attention. So you got a $100,000 limit,
mm-hmm.
but your savings account is zero. Your checking account is zero.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to what these people are telling you to do. And then you extract $30,000. You take that $30,000 and now you put it in your savings account. Now you feel relieved. Oh, I got $30,000 in my savings. I hope the camera's watching them laugh.
Because I see where you're going. Yeah.
I hope the camera caught them laughing. You see how idiotic it is? So now, why is it that logic sounds idiotic,
mm-hmm.
but it don't sound idiotic when it comes to real estate?
Yeah.
Because what you did is you borrowed money that you owe, that you paid interest on, and you put it in your bank, and you convinced yourself, I'm making money. Mm. Or I made money. How? I show you the difference. A different game.
Mm-hmm.
I show you a different game. in real estate, you don't start making money in real estate until you recoup what it cost you. Mm-hmm. So that same $30,000 you put in your bank with American Express, if you don't figure out a different way to recoup that money back to make American Express whole, you out of pocket $30,000 still indebted to American Express. Mm-hmm. But if you're able to pay American Express back, make them whole, you recouped your money. Now that $30,000 is really your money.
Yeah.
And then whatever cash flow that's being generated is really your money. So I approach the game different. Well, what's the fastest way? What's the quickest way you could recoup your money that it cost you that I had to bust my ass to build up? I want you all to stop being convinced that you're making money because the equity went up. Mm. Equity means nothing. American Express with a $100,000 limit means nothing if you don't have the ability to tap into it. You agree with me or disagree?
I agree.
So why is it that it's different when it comes with the same analogy when it comes to real estate? Because it's the same shit. You're borrowing money, got to pay interest, you're responsible for it.
Yep.
So when I tell people, when they call me up, so if y'all want to do a consultation with me, you need to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Let me talk to you. I'm going to tell you the truth. Not to gas you. I want to tell you the truth. The numbers is what tells you the truth. The universal language of the world is numbers. If the numbers don't add up, it don't add up, no matter what you want to do. So I show the people, how do you get your money back the quickest way possible to recoup your money so that the surplus that that property is doing is truly net income? Mm-hmm. Then how you leverage it to then get to the next one and then do it again and then do it again and then do it again.
So does that mean would you say, because I know that one of the more popular strategies when I was learning about real estate was the BRRRR, I think it was like buy, renovate, repair, refi, the whole thing. Yeah. Is that strategy no longer effective?
Strategy is not a new strategy. Even the person that coined the phrase BRRRR strategy, Brandon Turner
from Bigger Pockets.
He coined that phrase. Mm-hmm. So when people are saying the BRRRR strategy, they're making it sound like this was some created thing that's happened and it was always. The BRRRR strategy's always been a thing in real estate. If you pay attention to one of the interviews that I had with Brandon Turner himself, I said that the majority of people should not be doing the BRRRR strategy.
Why not?
And guess what? He agreed with me as well. Mm. So I say that the BRRRR strategy is dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. So before people get in the comment section and try to throw shots, yes, the BRRRR strategy is amazing. And done correctly is amazing. Mm-hmm. I've done the BRRRR strategy. To a degree, I still do the BRRRR strategy. But the majority of people have no business doing the BRRRR strategy. And the reason why is because you're extracting way too much money out that property from the beginning. You're not allowing the property to start working for you. You already took too much blood out of it. Mm. So there's not enough money circulating. So, want me to break down what I mean?
Let's do it.
You buy yourself a property. Mm-hmm. Let's say the property was worth $300,000 after repair value. The goal for you to buy that property is that you want to be able to buy that property low enough to then force appreciate the value of that property, correct?
Correct.
So let's just say that the property was $300,000. I need to fix that property for $50,000. I know that I have to buy that property somewhere around $160,000. Mm-hmm. That means that at $160,000, another $50,000 rehab, not counting carrying costs or anything else, I'll be all into the property for $210,000.
I'm with you.
The surplus is $90,000. Mm-hmm. So then now what you're told is you're all in for $90,000. The mortgage, taxes, insurance with today's numbers at a property valued at $300,000, you're gonna extract today somewhere around 70 to 80% mm-hmm. of that. I don't have a math off top of my head.
Rough numbers.
Let's just say that you was able to pull out 240, 250. They convince you that you made 30, 40,000, 50, or 20,000. But don't forget, the lenders have to eat too. Mm-hmm. So you make less than that. So now you got a new mortgage. The new mortgage went up. You extracted all the money you could get out of it. Now you can't do nothing else. Even though there's equity left in the property, the equity means nothing because you can't tap it into it. You already took all of it.
Yeah.
So the play now is for you to take the monies that you was able to pull back and then buy the next property following the same process. Mm-hmm. That property that you currently that we're talking about, you have to rent that property out. Since you took too much money out of it, and depending on what type of property is it a single family, a duplex, a triplex, a quad, a sex unit, whatever it is, you have to understand how to analyze each step. But in this case, it's a single family. Single family average in America, if you were to rent that property out, let's just say conservatively, mm-hmm. you're going to rent it out for $2,000. Yep. I know I'm being conservative. You following me?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
How much did I tell you the mortgage is?
The mortgage is, I know the property, we said $300,000.
So you're going to get a mortgage of around $250,000, somewhere
there
like
go.
That.
There you go, there you go.
So you're going to have a mortgage somewhere around, just to be safe, at $250,000, somewhere around $2,000.
Okay.
Let's just make it nice.
Okay.
You're renting it for $2,000 a month. But okay. Well, you're being a little extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get $3,000. Cool. You're going to get $3,000.
And the mortgage is two.
And the mortgage is two.
Okay.
So you're going to be making, after miscellaneous fees and everything, you're going to be making a whopping $600. So now, you're going to go and get the second property and follow the same process.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you get to the second property, now you're indebted $500,000. You understand where we going with this shit, right?
I'm going. I'm with you.
$500,000 in debt.
Make cash flow in $600.
So roughly. You can make a whole whopping $1,200. This is the shit that people were being convinced that this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, with my experience, I found that the majority of people, by the time they get to the third property, is when they wipe themselves out.
Mm.
So now you get to the third property. Now you're indebted $750,000. We didn't talk about one tenant not paying rent.
Pipe busting. Roof falling in.
So between three properties, you're making a whole whopping $1,800. Yeah. You're renting for $3,000. All you need is one a property not to perform. Just one.
Then you're going under.
And everything is gone.
Yeah.
All you need is one major snowstorm like what we've had, and you lose everything.
Yep.
So that's why I say the majority of people should not be doing the BRRRR strategy, because the way that you just allowed me to break that down, most people ain't going to talk about it this way. They're just excited about the accumulation that they were able to achieve, and then they like to say, I got three properties. No, I got 12 properties. Ask them how much money they making. I just seen a brother have a 20-something unit property. Mm-hmm. He was making $200 a door. And I forgot how many millions of dollars in debt he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making $200 a door.
Mm.
He's out of here, bro. Just give it a little bit more time. He's out of here. Not only he's out of here, those type of properties have loans that are amortized for over 30 years, but with a balloon payment of 3, 5, or 7 years. His loan is about to be called in. Since his loan is about to be called in, his interest rate at the time when he bought it, COVID investors, was in the 2s, 3s. Now interest rates for these type of properties are in the 6s, 7s. Not a single bank is going to touch that property because the property will never be able to sustain the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you think is going to happen? That property is going to be on the market for 50, 40 cents on the dollar. And I'm going to be that guy lurking to say, I'll buy it. That's where the game is going to now, 2026. That's where the real estate game is going now. And unfortunately, most people don't see it. Unfortunately, where the real estate game is now, that person that was crying wolf, and then finally when the wolf really came, the community was saying, I'm that boy that's been telling y'all what's about to go down if y'all not careful. I'm that boy that's been telling y'all, get yourself prepared, because here's what's gonna happen.
Mm.
And it's already happening now.
I've heard you, so now that leads to my next question, because I've heard you say, like in real estate, there are terms like fix and flip and buy and hold. But I've heard you say
the entire business of investing in real estate is a flip.
How? Break that down for me.
Okay. There's three major entry points of investing in real estate that everybody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Audience, just watch. Watch. There's three major entry points of investing in real estate. Wholesaling, buy and hold, flip like HGTV. What does a wholesaler do?
You're a middleman, essentially.
A wholesaler gets a property under contract at the right price point to ultimately flip that property to somebody like me.
Mm-hmm.
You agree or you disagree?
I agree.
Okay. What does a flipper do like HGTV? A flipper gets a property under contract at the right price point, renovates that property to ultimately flip that property to an end buyer, typically retail. You agree with me or you disagree with me?
I agree.
Buy and hold, long-term hold. What does a buy and holder do? A buy and holder gets a property under contract at the right price point, renovates that property, rents that property out to ultimately flip that current mortgage into a new long-term mortgage for passive income. Do you agree with me or do you disagree with me?
I agree.
The entire business of investing in real estate is a flip. The reason why people compartmentalize it is to go for your pocket. Oh, you ain't got no money? Don't worry about it, bro. I'm going to teach you the wholesale game. Oh, wait. You got a little bit of money, but you're trying to build more money? Let me teach you the flip game so we can build up your capital. Wait a minute. You've been blessed with some money? I'm going to show you the rental game. The whole game is a flip. When I started realizing that this whole business is a flip, my whole mindset shifted. Because the new play now that people are sensationalizing today is what in real estate? New builds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now everybody wants to be a builder. I want to be careful because I'm not throwing shots at doing new builds. What I'm saying is everybody's looking for the latest trend.
Yeah.
But what is a new builder doing? They're buying the land at the right price point, building that right property at a certain price to ultimately flip that property to an end buyer to buy that property so that they can make a boatload of money. The entire business of the game is a flip. And once you get that in your mind, you don't care. I don't care if you're wholesaling, land buying, subject to it. It don't matter to me. When you understand that concept, you'll understand how to properly evaluate to make sure it's a deal or not.
Mm-hmm.
But what most people are getting caught up with is the trend of real estate.
Mm. So then with that being the case, you talked about how, you know, once again, you're talking about 2 decades plus of being in this industry. You've seen literally every high and low that can come. And from someone like myself from the outside looking
in, I haven't seen all. I humbly speaking, I've seen enough.
You've seen enough?
Yes.
Where do you see the market going in the next 5-10 years? Because I've had real estate investors come on. I feel like I never hear the same answer twice. Yeah. So some investors, like, for example, when I had Storm on, he pretty much said that the real estate is the market today is nothing like what it was when him and probably you or guys are getting into where it's not. It isn't as 1, 2, 3 to go ahead and secure a property. I've had people that come on and said, like, all right, well, maybe now is not the best time for a new investor to get started. Other individuals that are saying, like, hey, you don't wait to buy real estate. You buy real estate and wait. Where do you see the market going over the course of the next several years?
It's always a good time to buy real estate.
Always?
Always a good time.
Okay.
But you have to adapt to what the market gives you.
Okay.
The reason why I believe in real estate so heavy. Name me one person that doesn't have a roof over their head.
You got a roof over it right now.
Name me one business that's not involving to a certain level or degree, involving somewhere involving real estate. Name me one. When it all boils down to it, real estate is an essential to life. Real estate is an essential to life. So yes, everything that all of the people that you describe, what they said, there is a degree of truth to everything, but it all boils back down to real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Is the landscape the same way that it was yesterday? No, it isn't the same that it was yesterday. But real estate is always going to be an essential, and I'm choosing to be involved in it in whichever capacity that I can. So what do I see coming in the coming years? I don't see a crash.
Okay.
At one point I was saying a crash. I don't see a crash. I see a correction, but I see a correction in pockets of the business that you have to pay attention to. and that most people aren't going to pay attention to, and they're not going to be able to capitalize on. So even with the example that I gave you with the gentleman with the 22 unit,
mm-hmm.
most people aren't even going to be able to pay attention to where that property is going to be listed to even want to work towards getting it. Most people aren't going to position themselves to be qualified to be able to get a property like that. So it's going to fall through the cracks. Then somebody like me is going to buy it, God willing. Or Jude is going to buy it. Or Storm is going to buy it.
Mm.
So if you're not preparing yourself now, yesterday, even when the opportunities are presented to your face, you're not going to be able to do anything with it anyways. You're not going to be able to do anything with it. So I just see a major corrections and pockets. And that's where the money's going to be made. If you're looking in the terms of the retail spacing wise, as far as general buyers, I don't see a major, major downturn, period. But also, we're in New York.
Yep.
New York right now is being isolated to what's really happening throughout the rest of the country. If you pay attention to parts of Atlanta, the market is being changed dramatically in terms of price reductions, cash flow. Look at places like Florida. Look at places like Texas. They're being impacted heavy. But you're going to have pockets that aren't going to feel it as much. So then you're going to hear pockets of people say, well, that's not happening here. But it's coming, though. It's coming, though. Maybe it won't be as severe, but it's coming, though.
Mm. So for where you are now in your journey, because once again, decades plus, and now you're in a space where you're not just doing, you're mentoring and you're coaching. What would you say at this point is your North Star? What for you, what is it that you're still working towards in this stage of your career?
I just love real estate, bro. I just love real estate. And if I would say what I feel my calling is to do what I'm doing right now. To help as many people. And I mean this, and I'm not watering it down.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that I had to go through what I'm going through to have my testimony that I'm presenting to you today
mm-hmm.
that hasn't changed in the years I've been talking to be a light to people to show them that they can too.
Mm.
I'm not trying to be the biggest or the smallest of anything. I'm trying to be the best version that Welby can be
yeah.
and to help as many people as possible through their journey in this business. I'm not for everybody because I'm not here to sugarcoat nothing for grown adults. I'm not here to lie to you, to convince you of anything. All I have is to be truthful. And I really believe that most of us are intelligent enough to be able to recognize truthfulness and be able to internalize it to how it could benefit you. So that's the type of time I'm on. In this space of real estate, I want to assist and help as many people along their journey. Man, listen, bro, I already got over 22 people. Two of them just closed. I'll show you some of the receipts, bro. Two of them closed on their deals earlier this week
mm-hmm.
for the first time in this market in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
One of my Haitian sisters, Victoria, shout out to you. She's only been in the game and she lost her job, brother. She's only been in the game not even a year and she's set to clear $200,000. Mm. You know what life-changing that is? So I want to be that person that's going to help to navigate people through this, through where we're going to go through because you're going to see a lot of blood in the water, bro. You're going to see a lot of blood in the water and I just want to help as many people that's willing to take this journey with me, man.
You've seen people post their 50K approvals online, but have you ever wondered why it hasn't happened for you yet? You're clocking in at your 9-to-5, you're building your business after hours, you're even stacking your 401k and setting money aside for investments. So on paper, you're doing all the right things, but here's the problem. Growth feels slower than it should, opportunities keep passing you by because the capital isn't there, and you start wondering if building a real legacy for your family is even possible. It's not about effort or commitment because you've already proven that you have both. The missing piece is having the proper structure. That's why inside of our free masterclass, The Fast Track to Capital, I'm going to show you a step-by-step process on how entrepreneurs just like you are securing $50,000 to $100,000 in capital safely without wasting years on trial and error. So if you want to secure your seat, click the link above or below this video to save your spot and don't keep grinding without the structure that gets real results.
Powerful. As we start to, this has probably been one of my, if not the favorite sit down, my favorite sit down. I've never had a sit down where literally you just going for 40, 50 minutes at a time. But the story is so impactful.
I appreciate it.
My last question for you as we start to close. If sitting in your seat, sitting across from you, was Welby 10 years into the future, and he dropped in, and you could ask him one question, and he could answer you back, but he could only answer in one sentence, what would you ask him, and what do you think his answer would be?
Was it worth it? And he said, man, you're gonna make me brother cry. For real, man. Yo, was it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been through some hell, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it. I've been through some hell and I'm proud of it. And I'm not embarrassed of it. I'm a man, bro. I've been through some hell. So when I speak on it, I speak with the level of conviction that I do, because I know what I've been through. You can't tell me my story. So the reason why my story don't change is because it's the truth. And I don't want others to have to go through it, because I speak to them every day. My DMs go crazy, and I speak to these people every day, and I see what they go through. And I'm like, yo, damn, man, I just wish you would have just hit me up, bro. Oh, yo, damn, man, I'm not selling you nothing. My mentorship sell out anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need your money. My mentorship's going to sell out anyways. But what you're not willing to invest to educate yourself is going to cost you 20, 30 times that outside in the real world.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be the hardhead like me. I was a knucklehead. I didn't want to listen. I wanted to talk too much. I didn't want to listen. So you don't have to suffer like me. Be better than me. Take advantage of me. My mentees are doing more money than I am. I'm talking about the span that they've been in the game. Faster than me. I'm a proud big bro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not intimidated by none of y'all. Any of y'all influencers here in the real estate space doing anything positive, I'm proud of y'all. I love y'all. Anywhere I can support you, I'm going to. The rest of y'all that have been out here manipulating and playing these people, get the fuck out the way, man. Y'all did enough damage. So the brothers, y'all know who I'm talking. Y'all know I love y'all that's doing y'all thing. Stand up, because now we never stop doing what we doing, but the noise was muffling us. Now God gave me the amplifier, man, and my voice is going deeper than I never thought it would ever. And being Welby was good enough.
Hmm.
I didn't have to change. I didn't have to sell my soul. I didn't have to violate. I didn't have to be a thief. I didn't have to be a scammer. I didn't have to be in nobody's circle. I just had to be me. And it was good enough. So you good enough too. You're special enough too to accomplish the things that you want. Just bet on you. That's all you got to do is bet on you and watch how it goes down.
Welby Asali, thank you for coming on the show, brother.
I appreciate you, man. Your voice is needed, bro.
Thank you.
And we've been trying to do this for a minute.
Long time.
And I told you that, yo, the people you put on here, you make them look good. So I hope I'm looking as good on camera as the other people on here. And I just want to tell you sincerely, thank you for allowing me to speak my truth.
Yep.
Thank you for allowing me your platform to amplify the message.
Yep.
And y'all tap in with me, man. The Flips to Profits family is the hottest thing out here moving. You want to be a part of this family, man. Come and tap in with me on all social media platforms, man. And let's get to work, man.
Do they have a link or anything that I was actually about to say? Where they can find you on social media and how they can get in touch with your mentorship?
At my best 197, ATM as in Mary, YBEST 197. And then I got a current mentorship, the rental mentorship. If you want to learn how to explode your rental business the right way, I got this mentorship, bro, that's going to change the game. And I want you to be a part of it. I got the other mentorships too, but let's start with this one. Click the link in my on my social media. If you don't mind,
I'll put it in the description.
I'll give him the link for you guys to get on that wait list. Hopefully you do it sooner than later, because we're doing the classes going down soon. And we'd love to be a part of it. And you'll actually get to speak to me directly. I'm not that far away that people can't get in contact with me and my team, but you'll actually be working directly with me. You will
will be getting my personal number two.
There you go.
When you rework, you'll be getting my personal number two, man. And so just watch the links and click on those and come and rock out with me.
My guy, I appreciate you.
Appreciate you too, man.
But everybody that's watching at home, I appreciate you guys as well. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now. Go ahead, show some love to this episode. Tell a friend to come back, rewatch this episode again, and make sure that you get tapped and wrapped in with all the things that Welby has going on. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois. That is the always incredible Mr. Welby Aselli. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time, peace.